at Bertha Charuma 1 on Twitter.
It is Bertha Charuma with you up until 12 midnight, talking about a lot of issues that are affecting us. We're just talking about autism, the first 30 minutes of the show. And coming up now, studentification of Bay suburbs needing more research. And our guest this evening is Pedro Muzileni, a PhD sociology candidate at Nelson Mandela University. So the significant changes in the policies of the Democratic government on the funding of higher education have transformed both demographically or in demographics of the university and those of the Port Elizabeth City. Annual reports of the university sent to the government indicate that between 2012 and 2019, the number of students attending Nelson Mandela University increased by 29%. Adding students who are enrolling in the public and private colleges in the city, increasing this number even further. Now, in the main, it is students who come from rural communities, townships of this region, and the broader nation who have assessed the system. Has the influx then been accommodated? That's the big question. And this evening, as we speak to our guest, Pedro, we'll get to unpack all that infrastructure-wise, transportation, accommodation, what really has happened. If we were to rewind 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and in comparison to now, there are so many discrepancies. I just look at Huje, where Auckland Park is. You look at the university and the amount of accommodation that has sprouted is alarming. In a good way, because they are providing accommodation because the influx of students has also just grown as much. But let's introduce our guest. Pedro, good evening and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good evening to you and your listeners.
Now, being in the environment that you are in, what is your view in terms of what has transpired? We've seen, you know, cities grow. More universities have been built, but the infrastructure has not grown enough to accommodate the influx of the students that have flooded the market. What is your opinion on that?
Well, the problem is the apartheid system, where this entire modernity we have was created. Cities currently generally are just unable to accommodate all citizens who need to be there because they were constructed for a tiny minority of white people. So universities are also having the same crisis. They were built for a tiny minority of white students. So I don't think the apartheid regime thought its system will collapse. They thought apartheid would last forever, you know. So now, since 1994, there has been a democratic requirement to provide higher education to everyone. And that means now bringing everyone to the city, bringing everyone to the university. But because these were small institutions that we inherited, there has been now this crisis of capacity, and that crisis is felt mostly in student accommodation, because you've got to have beds and enough room for each student to sleep, and if you can't provide that on the campus, then the entire student population explodes into the city. But the city belongs to private landlords who run an accommodation property business for a profit. Hence, you now see this funding crisis in higher education. If you trace the unaffordability of higher education, the main problem actually is accommodation, because rent costs more than what you are there to do.
So in this case that we find ourselves with this situation where a lot of colleges have come up, universities are growing, influx of students. What are the chances of then you know, or should I say, what are the ways to mitigate this particular problem? Is there a way to mitigate this problem?
There is a way. Well, the most feasible way would be a situation where the state plays a bigger role in the planning and construction of cities, especially cities and towns that have universities. But at the moment, the private sector is dominating that space. It's charging its own prices. It's charging its own rental fees. And these fees that the private sector is charging, they have nothing to do with the South African market. They're just trying to catch up with international profits. I mean, if you look at how much a rent is in Cape Town, in suburbs like Rondebosch, you also go to Johannesburg, it's ridiculous, the amount of prices that are charged for rent. They just don't match the incomes that people earn. And now you can imagine such rental fees being charged to students. NSFAS will not be able to meet those rates. So you need now a state that will play a stronger role in cities, where there would be sort of a state intervention in the purchasing of property for the purposes of student provision. So departments like public works, municipalities should intervene in these urban areas and purchase property, working hand in hand with universities, and in instances where it is necessary, some properties must just be expropriated and be provided for student accommodation. For an example, look at a city like Joburg. It still has a lot of buildings that were offices under the apartheid regime, but in the open market now that we have, businesses don't need such tall buildings. They don't have buildings with 14 floors. No business needs a building with 14 floors these days. So you could reuse such buildings and revitalize them for a different purpose, which is student accommodation, but you need a strong hand of the state to pull in the necessary capital to do those transformations. Because if you leave it at the hands of the private market, private role players are going to continue charging ridiculous prices, and such ridiculous prices, they create a crisis than the solution to the problem of accommodation.
There's something that I've been wondering for so many years. When I look around Auckland Park, I'm using Auckland Park because we are surrounded, I mean, there's UJ, and we are surrounded by so many students, and there are so many student accommodation buildings that have sprouted. And my question then becomes, who owns those buildings? I'm not so sure, but I know for a fact, because I had a niece who was renting out a studio for 5,000 Rand, which is just a little kitchenette. And yeah, she would put a bed in the corner. And that's almost like, when you look at 5,000 Rand a month, that is the price of maybe a one bed, you know, accommodation somewhere. And I'm talking in the north. You can find one bed accommodation for 5,000 Rand with a little carport and. But here it's just a little, you know, a little student accommodation. Who owns these buildings? Is it the government? Who owns them?
They are owned by white people who are not skilled enough to be innovative entrepreneurs, to go out and do real entrepreneurship. They just depend on the land and the properties they were given by the apartheid regime. And now they've passed those properties to their kids when they die. So the 1913 Land Act secured property rights for white people, and they own and control all the strategic urban areas where universities are located. So charging a 5,000 monthly rent for literally a room that is as small as a shack, where you can't even move, is the fundamental problem of what I'm raising with the private student accommodation market. And this problem is not only a problem of students, but it's also a huge problem for new workers, you know, new graduates who are trying to enter the labor market. They also face a challenge of finding accommodation. And this is making profit out of the desperation of people who need housing, you know. We shouldn't be having monthly rents charged at such prices at this day and age. Rather, there should be a democratization of the property market. New role players should come in, including the state, and they should avail property according to the needs and the levels of people's incomes these days. And that's why you need the state to expropriate and nationalize properties in these areas to provide them at affordable rates for new workers and also for students.
This situation goes back again to the Ministry of Higher Education, and we see again the Minister of Higher Education, Blade Nzimande, having to answer to this. Do you think it's something that they've been entertaining? Is it even in their radar? Or these are just conversations that you and I can have and are having in hope that something will be done?
Well, I wrote a PhD about this in 2021. It's now, what, it's now five years later. The article we were reading earlier on, I wrote it in 2019. So, and my PhD was the first PhD written in South Africa about this topic. So studentification is essentially this concept we're discussing, the movement of young people and students into university neighborhoods where they become new residents who are now part of the city as that population group, you know. The Department of Education and Training is unaware of this problem. The last time the Department of Education and Training did a comprehensive check of accommodation was in 2011. But that study was mostly concentrated on on-campus accommodation. It was a ministerial task team that consisted of scholars, practitioners, experts, former, you know, deans and vice chancellors of all these different institutions. So I think DHET now needs to formulate a new team that would now look at off-campus student accommodation, that would look at off-campus student communities, and how can property markets working together with the state, municipalities, and the private sector get to meet and come up with a new model that will make rentals more affordable in cities that have universities.
Talking to our guest this evening, Pedro Mzileni, PhD sociology candidate of Nelson Mandela University, talking about studentification, accommodation that has become a challenge for students. If they come into a town, they need accommodation so that they are able to attend their classes. And we find the discrepancies, especially when it comes to buildings surrounding the universities, which were privately owned. And if I own the property, I just put up a price and say, okay, my house is open for accommodation. Whoever wants, you pay 5,000 a room. Is it controlled? Is it managed? Who determines the right price for such accommodation? And are we not suffocating our own children, especially when they come into, you know, cities, going to universities? How then do you manage this scenario? Does the Ministry of Higher Education step in and say, you cannot, Bertha, you cannot charge 5,000 rand per room. You must charge 2,500 so that it's all, you know, it's affordable. It's a very, very complex situation, and a lot of us struggle. And I want to put it out there, maybe you're a student listening to our conversation, give us a call on 086-000-2032. That's 086-000-2032. What has been your experience? Have you found your accommodation to be affordable? And not only accommodation, we're talking about transportation. For instance, let's say then you find accommodation that is 10 kilometers from your university. How then do you come to the university? Look, not all cities or not all areas have Ria Vaya that connects you from one point to the other. What has been your experience? It'll be interesting to know your views, your opinions. You can also send us your voice notes. That's 0614104107. That's 0614104107. And make sure that your voice notes are audible so that we are able to play them. Let's take a small break. We'll be back.
The rest of the black child that are staying in town are abused. Those who are poverty are abused, those who are poor. Why? Because you find that the mother and the father, they have no money, they have no place to stay, they just have one zozo. That one zozo, you find that the child have 8 years, another one have 10 years or 12 years. They are staying with the mother and the father in one zozo. That is a big abuse in a child. Already the child are having traumatized because of that system.
SAFM values your views. Be an active citizen.
It is Night Talk, and on the line I have Dr. Pedro Mzileni, Senior Lecturer, PhD Writer, African Studies Sociology, and we are unpacking one of, it's not even one, this is a published paper that he wrote where student accommodation has become an issue. Universities were built in such a manner that they could accommodate a certain number of people. And ever since we got independence, there's been an influx of students coming from the peripheries of the country, coming into the city centers. But then there was never really a moment to say, how are we going to accommodate this particular influx of our children who are coming into the cities to go to these universities that did not have sufficient accommodation. And welcome back, Dr. Pedro. We just got we got cut there for a second.
I'm back.
So we were talking about the solutions, and you were explaining that you published your paper, you wrote your paper way back, I think you said, 2019?
Yes, 2019.
And we are now in 2024, which of course you'd have expected to get some reaction of sorts.
Yes, but I'm not disfigured. I think this is a journey, and it will take layers of generations to understand this issue. But at least let's begin somewhere, and I think conversations like this one on your show with the public are very useful. So well done on putting it together and raising awareness on the issue. And I think this is one of those challenges we would have to fix them as we go. We just need to accept that the apartheid system created a mess for all of us, So let's just fix it as we go, each year, each week, each month, until things eventually fall into place. And for this issue, you have two types of universities. You have the urban university, you also have the rural university. In the rural university, these patterns take on a very different shape. You look at, for an example, where I teach now at the University of Zululand. We are based in Kwadlangezwa, which is a rural setting. Now there, no one in the modern world imagined that universities would be built in rural areas. So how a student accommodation is constructed in Johannesburg, in Auckland Park, it won't be the same when you go to a rural setting, So there still needs to be a development now of a student accommodation for a rural setting. How must it now look like? How will it fit into the rural community and integrate with the rest of the community? In fact, how do you even imagine and conceptualize a university campus in a rural setting? So areas like Alice, where University of Hotel is, areas like Teflop, where the University of Limpopo is, they have different challenges, different questions concerning student accommodation, which are far different from what UCT and Bosch and UCT are facing. So it's a journey that requires multidisciplinary lens of understanding a city, of understanding the type of a student that you have now, and the type of a town and the city that must be prepared to receive them.
Mm. I've got a text. It's let's see here. It says, my daughter pays 9,000 rand at Cape Station student. She's studying in Cape Town, still needs to pay Metro bus, sometimes Uber. My other daughter pays 8,600 rand at Hatfield Studios in Pretoria. Luckily, school bus is free. They both don't qualify for NSFAS or NASFAS, as some call it, the bursary. This is quite hefty.
Yes, that is exactly what I was referring to, that the money paid for rent is far more expensive than the fees, you know. And it's not just rent. You still have water and electricity that is not included in this rent. You also have transport that is not included in this rent. And also groceries, clothing, stationery, and many other living allowances that a young person needs on a daily basis that are also not included in this rent. So by just moving a young person to a university campus, you find that you almost pay double of what you were going to pay for the fees. And we are all quiet about this crisis. It's treated as if it's normal. It's not normal, guys. There should be a real riot and a real conversation about this issue. We can't continue with this unaffordable model, you know, because we sit here and claim that no, UCT is going to be transformed if we send black students there, but enrolling a student is only a tip of the iceberg. There are other forces at play, economic forces at play, that will drive such students to drop out within a year. You know, the economic daily costs of them being there, they reinforce their exclusion from that kind of an environment. And this challenge, I want to emphasize again, it's a major problem that young people are facing when they enter the job market. When you graduate and you receive an entry-level job that pays you 15,000, right? And this workplace that is employing you, it's in the middle of the suburbs in Johannesburg, or it's in the middle of the suburbs in the Rondebosch, Cape Town. Where are you going to stay with the 15,000 income in a city that has an average of 9,000 rental charges? Basically, you are working for rent, you know? And we allow these things to continue as they are. So I don't think it's fair to allow the urban spaces to be dominated by private role players. That is robbing the citizens of the fundamental right of citizenship, the fundamental right to housing, the fundamental right to belonging, and just living a comfortable life as a young professional to enjoy what you trained for, you know. So there needs to be a real anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist conversation about the cities we have inherited after 94. And why do we keep allowing apartheid economies to remain in place on the property space? These are the questions that we were supposed to have. And we mustn't ignore this, because many black people are still suffering now from economic exclusion, of which before 94 it was racial exclusion. So in essence, we're basically sitting on top of the same crisis.
And I will have to leave it at this point, and we'll continue with the conversation on the other side of 11, because we have to go to news. But I've been chatting to Dr. Pedro Mzileni. We're talking about, you know, studentification of base suburbs needing more more work. I would have loved to hear your opinion in terms of the wish list. I know we spoke about the solution. You've highlighted maybe the solution will answer my question. That I was going to present to you to say the ideal situation, you know, where we have a wish list. But let's leave it at this point.